Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. You are live with Pastor Lou and
Pastor Rebecca
of Maryland Altar, broadcasting from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This is the prophecy at the midnight hour, and we're sharing what the Lord is speaking to the church in the United States of America. This is the Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5, conclusion to the prior two segments where the Lord laid the foundation in his word. And we started with Ezekiel chapter 37 and discussed what the Lord spoke through Ezekiel as he prophesied to the dry bones, to Israel, and raised a vast army, prophesying to the Holy Spirit, to the four corners of the earth, for the mighty Holy Spirit to come and resurrect the dry bones, the dead church, as we see today in the land of the United States of America. And then we laid the foundation again, and we looked at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is the exact replica or the exact copy of what we see in the United States of America today, with the land that is full of false prophets, false apostles, false pastors, and false teachers. So the Lord spoke through Ezekiel, and we'll just recap a couple of verses, and please write down Ezekiel chapter 34, the entire chapter, but we'll just read a few scriptures as a refresher. This is verse 1 through 4 in Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the spiritual shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe to the spiritual shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The diseased and the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the hurt and the crippled you have not bandaged. Those gone astray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought to find. But with force and hard-hearted harshness you have ruled them. In verse 11, the Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. This is the scripture and this is the vision for today, in the land of the United States, where we are full of false pastors that don't bandage the sheep, they don't feed the sheep, and the word of God. There is a famine in the land for the word of the Lord. And we saw that in Amos 8:11. Not a famine of food, but a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. We shared also how the Holy Spirit has been banned and barred from the house of the Lord, lest the pastors lose control over the entire service and the sheep hear the voice of the Lord and run away from the false gospel, the gospel of prosperity that is being preached. The prosperity gospel and the tolerance for sin in the church and the house of the Lord. As we've seen the sexual sin in the house, no sin is rebuked. In fact, many of them are approved. And so we see homosexual marriages in the house of the Lord. We see all sorts of abominations in the house of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is null and void and is no longer preached in the house of God. And so no wonder the church is empty, empty of the Holy Spirit. And the children of the Lord are scattered abroad. All of Ezekiel 34 speaks to the church today and what we see. And so the sheep are exploited for money. The sheep are manipulated for money, all for the pastors, the false apostles, and the false prophets. And this is important to lay as a foundation, because the false prophets have prospered in the United States. They've set up altars all over the United States. And as we spoke last week in last segment, and again tonight, we reaffirm the word of the Lord that the broom of destruction from the Lord is coming to sweep away the altars of Baal. For the famine in the land of hearing the word of the Lord, as he prophesied in Amos 8:11, is officially over. For the word of the Lord is going out into the United States, and the sheep are hearing the voice of the Lord, and they are again hearing the word of the Lord. It's the instructions that the Lord gives us for discerning a true prophet from a false prophet. And the Lord gives us clear instructions. And we lay this foundation of Ezekiel 34, for the sheep have not been instructed. They're in the rumor court. They're in the speculation world. They don't even rely on the most reliable source on planet Earth, the very word of God that he has presented to us, as well as the Holy Spirit. So with the Holy Spirit not allowed in the church, and with the word of the Lord not being preached, it's no wonder that the sheep are not able to discern, the children of the Lord are not able to discern the difference between a true prophet of the Lord and a false prophet. So it was important to establish Ezekiel 34, because the acid test of a prophet of the Lord is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 14 through 21, and again in chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Twice in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord gives us clear instructions for discerning between a prophet sent from God and a false prophet. So important are these instructions that the Lord repeats them twice in the book of Deuteronomy. And we found out in our last segment that the book of Deuteronomy means double. So here we have the instructions given to us twice in the book that means double. Let's read very briefly Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If a prophet, or one who foretells by dreams, appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if that sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, "Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them," you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Listen to how critical this instruction is from the Lord. Let's paraphrase exactly what the Lord is saying. If a prophet comes to you and their sign and wonder comes to pass, we all know the first reaction of the church and the world is to say, "Oh, they must be a prophet." But that's not the end of the story, according to the Lord. And he's consistent. We'll see this again and again and again. He says, "No, if they direct you to follow other gods, they are not from the Lord." And you could ask, well, Pastor Lou, it doesn't sound like they're asking us to follow other gods. And here's the acid test. Is that prophet prophesying for money? Is that prophet prophesying things of the world? Things of the world, things that would cause your focus to drift to the earth and look down, rather than your focus to be towards heaven in the kingdom of God. That is a wonderful rule of thumb, and you will see that all of the false prophets in America fail when it comes to prophesying. For they prophesy for money, they prophesy for gain, they prophesy for worldly blessings. And notice the Lord doesn't ever say that these worldly blessings are a curse or evil in and of themselves. But the prophet will prophesy for their own gain, and the gain temporally for the church. But the key here is that they lead the church, the children of the Lord, to another god, the god of money, which is the altar of Baal. We see this again in Numbers 22:7, where the things that Balaam prophesied actually did come to pass. Yet we know that Balaam is the poster child for a false prophet. Here's the introduction to Balaam. Numbers chapter 22, verse 7. This is Numbers chapter 22, verse 7. The poster child of a false prophet. And remember, what Balaam prophesied did come to pass. The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. So everybody knew that Balaam prophesied for money. Balaam is the poster child because he prophesied for gain, for his gain, not the kingdom of God. This is consistent throughout Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we'll lay the foundation Scripture also in the New Testament. And it's important to understand that our Lord, he does not change. And so the Lord is very consistent on the rules in the word for a true prophet versus a false prophet. In the New Testament, we have 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there, again, this is what, please write this down, reference scripture, because you will see the Holy Spirit prophesy to Timothy through Paul exactly the situation today in the United States of America. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, worthwhile to underline, unholy and disobedient to their parents, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the key, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Verse 6 through 9 goes on to describe exactly the tactics, the manipulation tactics of the false teachers, the false prophets, and the false pastors in the United States of America, and how they work on the guilty conscience, how they invade the home through TV, through the internet, through magazines, through mailers, through email, through radio, to work on the church to get her to give money to their ministries that they build for themselves and enrich themselves. And you see them, and they're driving in elegant cars. Some are so arrogant, they'll even fly in their own airplanes. And this is the state of the pastors in the land of the United States of America, where they're seeking their own and not seeking the church. This is what the prophets are prophesying, things of the world. This is what they did with Balaam. This is what Jannes and Jambres did against Moses. This is what the Egyptian false prophets performed. This is very, very old and nothing new. And they are here today in the land, even to the point of building schools of prophets, which we detailed as schools of blasphemy. For isn't it the Lord who calls his servant? As Pastor Rebecca shared in the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, it is clear the Lord is making a distinction between those that hear and are filled with the Holy Spirit and those that do not hear and are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because in these last dark days, it is only the Holy Spirit that causes our lamp to burn brightly in the oil of the Lord. And we know that the oil is always representative of the anointing of the mighty Holy Spirit. So as we discern true prophets from false prophets, we have the sure word of the Lord. We have the sure word of the Lord in Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18. And again, we have the Pauline epistle to 2 Timothy chapter 3 of what the land would look like in these last days, truly dark. But Jesus himself, the boss, gave us further instructions. And let's listen to what Jesus says about discerning the prophets of the Lord from the false prophets. And this is Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 19. Please write down Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 19, so that no one can say in the church they didn't know, and no one can be deceived again by the false prophets, the false pastors, the false teachers, and the false apostles that so pollute and litter the land in the United States of America. Verse 15, Jesus admonishes, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Verse 15 is even quoted by the heathen, by the pagan, and by the non-believer. And what Jesus is saying here is that in the church, in the house, you will see them look just like a minister and talk just like a minister, but there will be something missing. They will look like a prophet, and they will try to act like a prophet using prophetic words, and we hear this and see this all the time, but something is missing. This is our Lord, this is the boss speaking for how to discern a true prophet from a false prophet. So Jesus goes on, verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. So here we have our Lord giving us an even higher level of scrutiny, even better spiritual vision, if you will, and better spiritual ears. Because as we had the word in Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, the Lord expounds upon it and says, if you're still confused, you can always judge them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And then verse 19, he concludes, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This is the fate of the false pastors, the false prophets, and the false apostles in the land of the United States of America. These prophets that are false can be discerned by their fruit. And the fruit is given to us clearly in the word of the Lord. So let's take a look at Malachi 4, 5 through 6, which is the foundational scripture that we presented for the alert that Elijah is indeed here. And here is Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And listen carefully as we read, because therein you will find fruit. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. The fruit is clear in verse 6, where the kingdom of God, as it relates to the heart, for the heart, our hearts, are the altars of the Lord. He will turn those hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. And we can see at a higher level, let's take it up another notch, that is the hearts of the children of the Lord to the Lord Almighty. For the hearts of the children of the Lord in America are to earthly things. They are to worldly things. The hearts in the church are for new cars, for new houses, for new jobs, for new wives, and for new spouses, for the things of the world. And here the Lord says, the fruit, here in Malachi 4, 5 through 6, of prophet Elijah, when he comes, he will turn the hearts of the children of the Lord to the kingdom of God. And this is the fruit that we should be looking for in the Elijah prophet that the Lord has prophesied in Malachi 4, verses 5 through 6. We see the same scripture again, and this was the angel of the Lord prophesying of John the Baptist. We read Luke chapter 1, verse 16. Again, listen carefully for the fruit, and notice it is not worldly fruit. It causes one to look up into the kingdom of God and not down to the kingdom of men in the world. That is a good rule of thumb, that if you hear words, and if you hear a prophecy or from a prophet, and suddenly has you looking at the world, you likely have a false prophet on your hands. And if he has a prophecy and he's looking for money or preaching money, for sure you have a false prophet on your hand, or a false pastor or a false apostle. Throw them out. Verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Notice he didn't say to prepare the people for a wealth transfer. Notice he didn't say to prepare the people for a new worldly promotion, for a new home, for a new car, for any of the garbage of the perishable.
Amen.
The prophet of the Lord, this Malachi 4, chapter 4, 5 through 6, the same prophecy in Luke, chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, is clear. This fruit will be kingdom of the Lord centered. And it is in reference to the heart. This is the acid test for the Elijah prophecy. This is a prophet of the Lord, as the scripture said, in the spirit and power of Elijah that was spoken of about John the Baptist. And didn't Jesus say much about John the Baptist? To turn the hearts of the parents to their children. And the key scripture here as well is the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And isn't the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? And hasn't the fear of the Lord vanquished from the house of the Lord? It is completely absent. Otherwise, how could we explain people coming to church in miniskirts? How could we explain people lusting in church? There is no fear of the Lord. How can a pastor or a false prophet or false apostle prophesy money in the house of the Lord? Isn't that exactly why Jesus beat the money changers? And they were in the outer court. They weren't even inside the house. They were in the outer court, and he beat them out. But don't we see every outer court just about full of coffee shops and bookstores and marketing schemes and all these other merchandising that's going on? We put Madison Avenue to shame in the house of the Lord today. It's as though every false pastor, false prophet, and false apostle is their own independent corporation, and they're out there in a money-making endeavor that has nothing at all to do with the kingdom of God. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. This is the fruit, and this is the fruit test in the word of the Lord. We had Deuteronomy 13, chapter 13, and Deuteronomy chapter 18. So let's introduce the Malachi 4, 5 through 6 prophet, and let's judge based on the word of the Lord and the fruit of the servant of the Lord. For they must produce this spiritual fruit. And in a moment here, Pastor Rebecca has something to say.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Luke. Not meeting for our listeners to wait with bated breath. But I wanted to read Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 yet once again. And it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, Pastor Lou did bring up a point about John the Baptist. However, John the Baptist did not come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It was not a great and dreadful day of the Lord when John the Baptist was on the scene. It was a glorious time when Christ spoke the word of God, straightened everyone out. The apostles were chosen, and the new priesthood, if you will, was set forth in the apostles and those thereafter, the disciples of Christ. And Christ died on the cross to purchase our freedom, our liberation. For he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want you to make note of that. It was not before the great and terrible or dreadful day of the Lord that John the Baptist walked the face of this earth. However, now seems more than applicable the time that is before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. For when Christ comes from the sky, he is coming in judgment. He is not coming like a suffering Savior on a colt, a donkey, riding into Bethlehem and being lauded and praised by the people there and having palm branches thrown forth. That is not what he is coming back for. He's already been here for that. And he's already purchased for us the right to go to the Father into the Holy of Holies and make our petitions made known unto him. The right to have a relationship with our Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The right, as Jesus was crucified and left in Acts, and resurrected and made himself known unto his disciples and showed himself to them for 40 days before he went back again to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That was not the time. However, the time he is coming back now in judgment, he is coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whom we are to revere and to fear, reverentially fear, a holy God. This is the time that he is sending the prophet that Pastor Lou is going to introduce.
Thank you, Pastor Rebecca. Well, actually, you introduced him a few minutes ago in reading. And I'll introduce and we'll share what the Lord, the groundbreaking, earth-shattering, unbelievable headline news of what the Lord is doing. And it leaves one apoplectic, speechless, medically speechless, too. Here I am. Elijah is here, and in the Elijah spirit, the end-time prophet of the Lord, and as Pastor Rebecca read through in the parable of the 10 virgins, there was a crier that went out, and that crier today is Dr. David Awar, the Lord's mighty end-time servant who has been sent to prepare the church and comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. And so whenever someone would say something so earth-shattering, so shocking on a number of fronts, what does that mean in the Lord's prophetic time frame? That means our time is over, because we know when John the Baptist said, prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, there the Messiah was shortly thereafter. Amen. Now we have another, and the Lord has sent his servant saying, prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. He's preaching righteousness and holiness and calling all, including the United States of America, to repentance and even national repentance. And you may have or may not have seen the national press releases that Pastor Lou has sent out through the wires. This is a repeated message to the United States of America. This is a very serious time, and it's no time for jokes in the church. This is no time for a casual relationship with the Lord. Everyone just about can see that things are unraveling at light speed, so much so that people are practically intellectually dizzy and or numb, trying to filter all that they see and witness. We see a church today that is so fallen, she doesn't have enough blood in her to even blush from sin. And so the Lord is calling us to awaken. We know that a prophet is sent when the priesthood has fallen. And now we see why it was so critical to establish Ezekiel 34 as the foundation. For when the priesthood falls, that's when the Lord sends his servants. Because the priests, they don't hear from the Lord anymore. And isn't that the case today in America? Where were the priests and the false prophets and the false apostles before Boston? Did they warn? They did not. Did they repent? They did not. Were they called to repentance? They were. But with stiff necks and with arrogance, they declined the call of the Lord. And the United States has been declining the call of the Lord. And judgment will fall. But we know that the Lord will raise up a remnant, and he's raised up a remnant even now. The Elijah prophet, the Lord's end-time servant, will be the one to lead the Joel Great 228 revival. We prophesied Joel 228, and we see it taking place now globally. That spiritual fruit is indeed undisputable, unambiguous, unimpeachable evidence of the Lord's end-time servant, because no flesh and blood and no false prophet or false teacher or false apostle could bring national repentance or bring global repentance. That is a fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit that we see in Luke chapter 1. That is the same fruit that we see in Malachi 4, chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. So even if the church is a little fuzzy and a bit overwhelmed, that this is earth-shattering, unbelievable heavenly news, that the Lord has sent his end-time servant, that time is over, and the Joel 228 revival is now, and we're missing it, step back and do what Jesus said and look at the fruit. And repentance comes from the kingdom of God and is focused upon the kingdom of God. The rapture of the church and the coming of the Messiah, that's focused towards the kingdom of God and focused on preparing to present before the King of Kings. And while many may talk a good game, very few are walking it. Very few are walking humbly, doing justly, and loving mercy, preparing to present before a righteous, holy God. Jesus will return as the King of Kings very soon, and every knee will bow. In the global ministry that has ignited the Joel 228 revival is led by Dr. David Awar, the Lord's end-time servant. He is the prophet of the Lord, coming in the spirit of Elijah. That was prophesied would come to pass. So we built upon the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, indisputable scriptures from the word of the Lord. We have, as a refresher, John chapter 1, verse 19. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were confused about John the Baptist, and so they confronted him. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" That's John chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to that carefully. The Jews sent priests and Levites. Well, guess who didn't know that Elijah was there? Guess who didn't know that the Lord has sent the mighty prophet John the Baptist, whom Jesus called the greatest, look at who didn't know. The priests and the Levites from Jerusalem, of all places. He didn't say they came from Las Vegas. They came from the holiest of the cities, and they didn't know. We saw that also at the birth of the Messiah. Herod's people knew, and some of the Jews knew of, but they took no action. It was those on the outside that actually believed and took action. So he confessed and did not deny. But John confessed, "I am not the Christ." Hallelujah. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." Listen carefully. Next question, "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Obviously frustrated, then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." So this is John's response to the priests and the Levites. They didn't know who he was. John doesn't exactly give them a straight answer either. He refers them to the prophecy of Isaiah. And so it is today. This would not be taught in the house in the United States of America. Because at the end time revival, there were few, if any, apostles, pastors, or prophets who have spent the time to seek out and invite the prophet of the Lord, Dr. David Awor, the Lord's end time servant. There are many reasons for this, and obviously spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness is one. But the glorious thing here is that we see it with John the Baptist, chapter 1 of John, verse 19, that even the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem, they didn't know. Who did know? The very humble children of the Lord. The fishermen knew. Those that were hanging out with John, because he was way out in the wilderness, he was preaching repentance. The ministry of Dr. David Awor, the Lord's end time servant, the prophet of the Lord, is called the ministry of repentance and holiness. And repentance is the message to the church today so that she prepares for the coming of the Messiah. So it's not a prophet about money. Did not prophesy for his own kingdom, lines up with Deuteronomy 13 and again with Deuteronomy 18, lines up exactly with Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 18, fulfills Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, shows all the fruit in Luke chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, and again, all of the fruit that the Lord has continuously admonished, you will see as the fruit of the Spirit, even in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22. And here is the fruit of the Spirit. It is love. It is joy. It is peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. More fruit that one can use when viewing through spiritual eyes and discerning false prophets from the prophet of the Lord. I encourage all the listeners, if they're not certain, to stand on the word of the Lord, to do what Jesus says and commands to do, in Matthew 7, verses 15, what the Lord commands to do, Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, and see if the Lord has not sent his end-time servant for what that means, that Elijah is here, the spirit of Elijah is here, it means the time is over and the church must repent and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. That means the Lord is at the door, that time is over, and the days of casual relationships is over with the Lord. No more spending the currency of this world. It's time to invest in the currency of righteousness, which is the only currency of heaven. It's time to walk in holiness and not in the unholy, casual ways that the false teachers and the false prophets and the false pastors have taught the church, for they have abandoned the sheep. For the Lord commands us to be holy as He is holy. He doesn't suggest that we be holy. He commands that we be holy as He is holy, repeated all throughout the Old Testament. And again, we see it in the New Testament, Matthew 5, and specifically Hebrews 12, for without holiness, no man will see the Lord. With that, we're just about out of time. I wanted to share a little bit more about the mighty ministry and the mighty work that the Lord is doing globally and through the mighty end time servant, the prophet of the Lord, and we are out of time. Wow. Suffice it to say, and we'll close for this evening, that search the scriptures, all of the scriptures that were given within the word of the Lord, by the spirit of the Lord. And one can go to repentandprepareatheway.org or highwayofholiness.us. That's highwayofholiness.us, highwayofholiness.us, or repentandprepareatheway.org for more. And I would hand out another link, but I think that'll be a little bit too overwhelming on radio. But either of those sites, plenty of information, and also, of course, here at the radio. And we'll update accordingly on the site as well. With that, we thank you. We thank the Lord for the time and the opportunity. We pray that everyone's spiritual eyes and spiritual ears are open, and that the Lord would bless you abundantly, both spiritually and all that are needed in this world, in Jesus' mighty name.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.